Hello and welcome to this morning's St Andrew's and All Saints traditional service online. I'm Reverend Peter Myers and I'm the curate at All Saints and St Andrew's. And whether you're joining us for the first time or for the 101st time, it's wonderful to be together and to be able to worship together. Now this morning we're going to be using the service booklets. If you don't have these, the words are on the website and you can print those off and be able to follow the service. And as usual, we're going to be sharing communion this morning. And you might like, wherever you are, to get some bread and some wine or some grape juice or some Robina to be able to share in that when we come to share the bread and the wine as a symbol of sharing in Christ's sacrifice on the cross for you and I. So you might want to get those things ready. Now, on Thursday was Ascension Day. It's the day when Jesus was taken back up into heaven after his resurrection and having spent some time with the disciples. And it marks the beginning of 10 days that leads up to Pentecost, when there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the church was birthed. And so it is a time of waiting. It's a time of anticipation. Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem, to wait for the release of the Holy Spirit. And our rector, Reverend Dave Bruce, is going to speak to us later in the service on the whole area of waiting and anticipation. So let us start our service. And let me start by reading from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord. Church, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love. And with him is full redemption. Lord, as we come to worship and gather together in spirit this morning, may we wait upon you this morning. May we wait and put our hope in your word. And may we, as we worship, remember your unfailing love for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're now going to sing our first hymn, hymn 702, and the words will come up on the screen. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. Let's remember how important it is to worship the Lord, and then we know that he is with us and protecting us in our joys and in our troubles. 702.
Thank you.
There's so much in that hymn, isn't there, to really sit and dwell in. I was particularly caught this morning by the words, "He to my rescue came." And isn't that so much of this Easter season? Now, if you are a member of All Saints, you, I hope, will be aware that this week has been particularly difficult with two members of our church, or two families within our church community, experiencing bereavement. And it's a reminder, this last hymn, isn't it, that in our changing seasons of life, God is with us. And there are two families amongst us who particularly are experiencing a new, unexpected for one particular family, changing season. So please lift them and continue, as I know you will, to lift them in prayer. So we're now going to continue our service on page 21. And we begin at the top. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Therefore, let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. And before we say the next few words, let's have a moment of quiet as we reflect on our last week, knowing that we will have got things so wrong, but we can come with confidence to God, knowing that he will forgive us and bring us back into relationship with him. So just dwell for a moment and allow the Spirit to work within us. So let us say paragraph 5 together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, and confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me read you the collect of today, a prayer for this day, the seventh Sunday of Easter. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour Christ has gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Jutta is now going to read this morning's scripture, Acts 1, verses 1 to 14.
Good morning. Today's reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And I'm reading to you from the Good News Bible translation. Dear Theophilus, in my first book I've wrote about all the things that Jesus did and taught from the time he began his work until the day he was taken up to heaven. Before he was taken up, he gave instructions by the power of the Holy Spirit to the man he had chosen as his apostles. For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. And when they came together, he gave them this order: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "The times and the occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power. And you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up to heaven, as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, "Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus, who was taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you saw him go to heaven." Then the apostles went back to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is about a kilometer away from the city. They entered the city and went up to the room where they were staying: Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, Simon the Patriot, and Judas, son of James. They gathered frequently to pray as a group, together with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Bless you all.
Well, can I add my welcome to that of Peter's? It's lovely to be with you here again today. And as we look at this passage from Acts chapter 1, I'd love us first to pray. To pray for God's direction and God's words to us this morning. So Lord, may the words that I say be honouring to you. May they lead us into truth. May they deepen our walk with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, Paul talked about these times that we're in, being betwixt and between times, where we've left one familiar way of life, and we find ourselves in that in-between place, not quite knowing what our immediate future will hold, not quite knowing what the new normal is going to look like for our family life, for our friends, for our jobs, for our church. It's a time of disorientation, a time where we can feel out of control, a time where we can find ourselves very unsettled and anxious. And as one person said to me this week, described it as being on the corona coaster of life. I'm sure we can relate to those ups and downs. But today, as we reflect on this passage from Acts chapter 1, we find the disciples also in a betwixt and between place as well. See, our reading leaves them gathered together in the upper room. And what they've just done is they've just been with Jesus as Jesus has ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is now, praying, interceding for us, the Bible says. It's an amazing picture of Jesus praying for us. But the disciples, the followers who travelled with Jesus for 3 years, who'd been with him all that time, where they'd seen him teach, they'd seen him heal. Jesus had brought them comfort, he'd brought them peace, he'd been with them, he'd demonstrated his love to them, he'd shown them how to be. They'd seen him die, they'd seen him come back to life. And now he'd gone from them, gone back to his father. But he promised that actually time was coming in a short time where actually they would receive his presence in a different way through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus would come to live in them. But now they're living in this in-between time, this betwixt and between time, waiting, disoriented, looking to see what's ahead. And Jesus had given them instructions before he went. He told them something of their calling, something of their mission. He said, "You are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth." As Luke describes, Luke, the author of Acts, which is really a follow-on from Luke's Gospel. It's really Luke's Gospel part two. He says, "In my first book, I described all that Jesus began to do." And the implication here in this book of Acts is that these were the things that Jesus was continuing to do, but not in person, but through his followers, through the church. Jesus had passed on his mission to the church. And so his disciples were ready, were eager, were waiting to start that mission. But they didn't start straight away. They didn't just jump in, because Jesus gave them clear instructions. He said, "Wait. Wait to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit." And so in this time that we see, in this time that we are in now between Ascension and Pentecost, the disciples are waiting, waiting for the promises of Jesus. And I want us to think, have a look at how they waited, and think, how can that help us as we wait in our own betwixt and between time now? What might we learn from them? What might the lessons that God wants us to learn in this strange time be? Well, firstly, I want to say what those disciples did is they held on to the promises of Jesus. You know, it must have been quite easy if they'd seen Jesus go and actually they were left on their own and perhaps felt quite distant now from the Jesus that actually they'd been with and lived with for so long. But actually what they did was they held on to his promises, his promise that he would empower them with the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the comforter, the helper. The Holy Spirit would come and they held firm to the promises that Jesus had given. I wonder whether in these betwixt and between times we need to just hear again that call to hold on to God's promises. Perhaps in this time there have been times where we perhaps haven't sensed God as closely as we have done before. Perhaps there are times when we don't sense God at all. But we hold on to the truths of Scripture. His promises that he's with us, that he will sustain us, that he'll give us all that we need to journey through these challenging times. We don't live by our feelings. We live by the truth of God's word, of God's promises. So the disciples at that time were holding on to Jesus's promises. They also, that waiting, time of waiting, was also a time of letting go of control. You know, they'd been given a mission to be witnesses, but instead of rushing out to do it their way with their good ideas, they were called to stop and wait on God for his direction, for his empowering, for his timing. They were called to wait to do it his way. And I think that may well be a lesson for many of us at the moment. I loved what Chris and Lucy last week said in their testimony at the contemporary service about how as their diary emptied and as everything just fell apart around them in many ways, that they realised that they weren't in control any longer, but that God was. So a lesson for us to know that we are not in control, but God is. I love what Francis Chan says in his book, Forgotten Gods. He says, I spent years asking God to be part of whatever I was doing. But when I read the book of Acts, I see people privileged to play a part in what God was doing. You see, the lesson for us maybe at the moment is in these disorientation of these times, God is calling us to let go of the control over our lives and trust that he's in control. Rather than saying, God, will you come and bless what I am doing? Will we stop and be open and learn the lesson and say, Lord, what are you doing? And show me how I can join in with you. I think that may be a particular lesson for us as a church at this time, as so much of what we do has just fallen away and we've had to lay it down. And as we come to this next season and work out what life is going to look like in these coming weeks, more than ever we're going to need to go to God and say, God, what are you doing? Where are you leading us? We're no longer going to put on our programs and be in control ourselves, but we want to be guided by you. And learn to let go of control. But also what we see more than anything is they devoted themselves to prayer. We read that in that upper room they gathered together over those 10 days to pray. And I've been thinking, what difference did that prayer make? What was going on when they prayed? And I think lots of things probably, but I want to just highlight two things. Firstly, I think their hearts were softened and prepared to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a bit like when you get a sponge that's not been used for a long time, that's really dry. And when you pour water on that dry sponge, initially it just bounces off and doesn't receive, and none of that water soaks in. But actually, if you leave that sponge to soak in a bowl of water, when you pour that water in again, that sponge will soften and it will be able to hold so much water, and you can wring it out and massive amounts of water will drip off. And I think it's a bit like that when we devote ourselves to prayer. When we take time out to just be in God's presence, we're like that sponge which softens and is able to take in and absorb and receive so much more of God's Spirit. That when we go out from that place, we drip that Spirit, we drip God's Spirit everywhere we go. And I think that's something of what was happening there with the disciples. Their hearts were softened and prepared to receive the Spirit on that day. And maybe that's a challenge for us in this coming week, is to dwell in God's presence and pray, God, will you soften my heart to receive a new filling of your Spirit. That in this time, this strange time, that actually I may be so dripping with your Spirit that I can't help share that and witness to others through that. So I think it softened their own hearts. But secondly, I think it softened the hearts of those who they would witness to on that day of Pentecost, the crowd where 3,000 came to faith that day. You know, when we pray, we trust that actually those prayers make a difference. Those prayers soften the soil. Soften, break up the hardened soil for God's Spirit to be at work. Maybe actually so many more came to faith on that day of Pentecost because those believers were gathered together in prayer. And that's our invitation this week for Thy Kingdom Come, is to gather together in prayer with Christians from all over the world to pray for God's kingdom to come, to pray for this world to be more aligned to God's ways, to pray that actually people would have their hearts softened and in these times turn to Christ. You know, there's been a really exciting thing happening. I think we've heard from people like Pete Gregg, who's talked about how many people who don't normally log on are logging on to services, church services, how many more people are praying than usual. God is doing something in this place. It's his work. It's his mission that we're invited to join in. And so may we, this time of thy kingdom come, be devoted to prayer, to praying for God's kingdom to come, for praying for others to come to know Jesus. So I invite you to be still. Just as Jesus invited those first disciples to be his witnesses, he invites us to be his witnesses in our neighbourhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we are. But the great news is that he doesn't send us alone. He equips us and he empowers us with his Spirit. So perhaps just where you are, may you open yourself to God's Spirit. That God would pour his Spirit into each of our hearts, that we might be empowered to be Christ's witnesses. And Lord, we say our hearts are open. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We're now going to continue in prayer.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, crowned with thorns, yet crowned with glory, lifted up on a cross, yet ascended on high, crucified as a criminal, yet honoured as Lord, sealed in a tomb, yet triumphant over death. Remind us again today of your transforming power and renewing love, the way you overturned the wisdom of this world, bringing victory out of defeat, joy out of sorrow, and hope out of despair. Remind us that you are able to change our lives and our world, bringing light into the darkness and wholeness in our brokenness. Reach out in love and work your miracle of grace.
Jesus, people came to you when they were in trouble or pain. Friends carried them. Strangers told you about them. Some invited you into their homes, or met you walking on the road. You listened to them, you prayed with them, and you brought hope and healing into their lives. Thank you, Lord, that you do not leave us alone, but draw alongside us day by day. We pray that in this same way you will come alongside our loved ones, our friends, and those who make up our communities, that you will continually journey with us to guide, protect, comfort and support each one.
Our reading tells us that the disciples were told to wait. Waiting can be hard, Lord. We're not always good at waiting in traffic, on hold, on the phone or in queues. Just now, many wait anxiously for an end to the isolation and their own company. Others wait for news of loved ones separated by distance and regulations. We commend to your care those facing a particularly uncertain future, waiting to hear if they still have jobs to return to, and if not, how they will support their families. Lord, for those we know in these situations, may each one be assured that you are on the case and that their times are in your hand, as the psalmist assures us.
In this lockdown, our ongoing prayers are for relationships under strain, for families living in close proximity to each other, families which struggle to get along at the best of times. Protect the vulnerable, we pray, and bring peace and harmony where there are fractures of any kind in family life. Please hold fast those who mourn the loss of love or a loved one. We pray for communities here and in the wider world in which people are dealing with disaster or fear, hunger or poverty, violence or virus, persecution or pain. How often we pray that your kingdom will come and your will be done. Our prayers now are for a new normal, a just and equal society which draws on the good things experienced in these last weeks, a relinquishing of the props previously depended on, and a new vision of your kingdom that Jesus so vividly and visually demonstrated.
Make us, Lord, your prayerful people with a new and vibrant dependency on you. And as we move into this week, may the God of peace inspire us. May the God of justice help us to implement a fairer world and to live the good news. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen.
Thank you, James and June, for leading us in our prayers. So we're now going to say the peace together as we continue on page 26 of the service sheets. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized in one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be with you. And also with you. Let, if you are with others, why don't you show a sign of the peace. But if you are on your own, I just want to hold each other's, hold your forearms, feel connected with others, but we send our peace to you. And we're going to now continue on page 30. With the Eucharistic prayer there. So the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Blessed are you, Lord God, our light and our salvation. To you be glory and praise forever. From the beginning, you have created all things, and all your works echo the silent music of your praise. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image, the crown of all creation. You give us breath and speech, that with angels and archangels and all the powers of heaven, we may find a voice to sing your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embrace the people as your own. When you turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them you raised up Jesus, our Saviour, born of Mary, to be the living bread, in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. And on the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends. And taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ is the bread of life. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death of Jesus Christ until you come in glory. Father, we plead with confidence your His sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember His dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that He intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be to us the body and the blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us in the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to your glory. Bring us at the last with all the saints to the vision of that eternal splendour for which you have created us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom, with whom, and in whom, with all who stand before you in heaven and earth, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. And so let us say together the prayer that our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. And in a moment, I'm going to take the bread and the wine. And if you have some bread or some wine and a wine at home, then it's a moment to take it. But before we do, because we are apart, though we are joined in the Spirit together as the church, let me say a prayer of an act of spiritual communion. Of old, this prayer is of old, so let me pray it for us. Our Jesus, we believe that you are present in the Blessed Sacrament. We love you above all things, and we desire you in our souls. Since we cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into our hearts. As though you were already there, we embrace you and unite ourselves wholly with you. Never permit that we should be separated from you. Amen. And so we're going to receive the body and the blood of Christ in our hearts. And there's something specific that has stirred in you from what Dave was teaching earlier. In this time of waiting, or if you're waiting for something in your life that has yet to bear fruit as you would desire or anticipate it will be, or that you feel that the Lord has promised, come into this place now with faith. We're called to come to the table together in faith. So bring those things that are on your heart that you're waiting for. Or if you're finding just waiting so hard, which it so can be, then bring that struggle right now to the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are with us. And you are with us in our waiting and our anticipation. And as we wait for the celebration of Pentecost, we again lift our voice in that cry, "Come, Holy Spirit." We know that the Holy Spirit is with us. But that cry, "Come, Holy Spirit," is a desire for us to become more attuned and in line with him and all that he has for us and for his creation. Amen. So let me say the Pace Communion prayer. Eternal God, giver of love and power, your Son Jesus Christ has sent us into the world to preach the gospel of his kingdom. Confirm us in his mission and help us to live the good news we proclaim through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It's an interesting question about what it means for us to go out and to proclaim the good news. But there are ways, and the Lord will lead us in that. So we are now going to sing our second hymn, glorious hymn number 431, Lord, enthroned in heavenly splendour. Let us sing 431. ascended, glorified. Isn't that the glorious anthem for today? We worship a living God who is with us every day. All we need to do is to ask him to be with us and to open our hearts to him. So just a little bit of a few things to let you know. Alpha continues, and that's been continues to be very encouraging. So please continue to pray for the team and all those that are attending that. And just to follow on from what Dave has already mentioned, that Thy Kingdom Come Global Prayer Initiative, which started on Ascension's Day, but for us, we really get going today and this coming week. Lots of information on the website for you to help you engage with that global prayer initiative, the prayer that more people would come to know Jesus. And a couple of highlights, we're encouraging you all to pray for 5 people who don't yet know Jesus. Pray for them every day. The other thing is that we're each morning this week, we're going to be praying from 9 to 9:45 with different themes each week, led by each day, led by different people. So come and join that, all the Zoom, those Zoom meetings, all the details on the website. There are also going to be a number of reflections, which are just 2-3 minute reflections, which various church leaders from across Malvern have done. Those will be available. So that's a real churches together initiative, which is great. So enjoy those. And finally, on Friday, from 9 o'clock on Friday to 9 o'clock on Saturday, we're going to aspire to have 24 hours of constant prayer. So you can get involved by that by signing up via the website to pray in a particular hour, whether you do the whole hour, whether you do 10 minutes, whether you do 5 minutes, whether you do half an hour. Purely up to you, but we would love to have 24 hours of constant prayer, praying that more people would come to know Jesus and know his love and his saving grace and know his hope of eternal life. So get involved in that. Finally, I'm going to, in a moment, say the blessing, but I'd love to finish with a poem as a prayer. And it is a poem written by Rosemary Clare. And I was given this book by one of our own when I first arrived. Poems entitled, And Again He Comes. And this is a poem written by Rosemary called Waiting on the Lord. Just as those disciples waited for the Holy Spirit. So let me read this and then I'll finish with a blessing. Waiting on the Lord. I waited, Lord, but nothing came. But my trust in you remained. The silence made my heart ache as I pondered which path to take. Then slowly the answer came to just praise him and proclaim. The mighty power of his love flowing through me from above. No need to struggle, just lean on him who once again has been. Union with him will show the way as closer to him I stay. Oh, what freedom, what delight as I journey in his light. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us today and every day. Amen. Blessings on you all, and look forward to seeing and speaking to you as and when in the coming weeks. Farewell.